I invite you now, please, to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10, as we continue our study through the Gospel of John. We are now entering the 10th chapter, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 6 this morning for our study in God's Word. And as we usually like to do, let us, before we read God's Word, let us pray to the Lord to receive illumination and assistance as the Word is read and proclaimed. Let us pray. Glorious God and Almighty Lord and Creator of all things, Lord, You have spoken to us through Your Word. You have spoken through the prophets of old. You have spoken through the patriarchs, through Moses, through Elijah, through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the writers of the Old Testament. But Lord, in the fullness of time, You have spoken to us most clearly through the living Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the exact imprint of You, O God and Father. And now as we hear Your Word read and proclaimed, we pray for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who inspired this word to bring illumination for us. Help us to see, help us to hear what You, O Lord, would say to us through Your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10. You'll find the sermon text is also in the back of your sermon outline handout. But John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Again, please give your attention as God's holy word is read. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, ever since the beginning of time, the very beginning, there has been a battle, if you will, between truth and falsehood. If this were a wrestling match or a boxing match, in one corner you have the truth, and in the other corner you have the opponent, falsehood. When Satan, in the form of a serpent, invaded God's temple garden of Eden, the very first words out of Satan's mouth were, "Yea, hath God said." The heart of false teaching is the contradiction of what God has clearly said and taught in His Word. And the heart of false teachers is how they twist and pervert the Word of God for their own selfish ends. If you look at the landscape of modern Christianity, you will see a plethora, a multitude of false teachers peddling false hope through the proclamation of false gospels. Whether that be the false gospel of the word faith movement, or the name it and claim it movement, or the false gospel of the prosperity gospel movement, the wealth and health gospel, or the false gospel of the social justice movement, or the false gospel of the seeker sensitive movement. There are many false teachers peddling false hope through the proclamation of false gospels. And usually at the heart of such movements is a charismatic individual who attracts a large following. And on the surface, it may appear, this person may appear to be sincere, but at its heart, it is as Jesus would say to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, they are full of men's bones and all uncleanness. And that's what we're going to see in this text this morning as we begin our study through the Gospel of John chapter 10. Now, of course, you've heard this before, I'm sure, but it's unfortunate because the chapter and verse divisions of the Bible are not inspired. It is hard to see chapter 10 in its connection with chapter 9. But in John chapter 9, we saw Jesus perform the sixth of seven great signs and miracles that we see in John's gospel as he heals the man born blind. But as a result of that miracle, which was done on the Sabbath, which irked and raised the ire of the Pharisees proceed then to interrogate the man and to eventually cast him out of the synagogue. And then Jesus finds the man later, and the man then confesses Jesus as the Son of God and is brought into the kingdom of God as he worships at the feet of Jesus. And then Jesus makes a statement in verse 39, which, of course, offends the Jews who overheard, where he says, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." And that brings us to our passage this morning, as now Jesus illustrates to these very same Pharisees who took offense at Jesus' words in verse 39, the difference between true and false shepherds. And the point that I want to drive home this morning is this: Jesus Christ is our true shepherd. Follow him. Jesus Christ is our true shepherd. Follow him. Now first, let us look at verse 1 as we see the Pharisees, the false shepherds of Israel. After telling the Pharisees in verse 41 that their sin remains because they refuse to acknowledge their blindness, Jesus here now in chapter 10 begins with an allegory or a metaphor or an illustration to make a point with them. In fact, in verse 6, we see that John tells his readers, that's us, John tells his readers that what Jesus says in verses 1 through 5 is an illustration. Other translations say a figure of speech. And this illustration is going to play on how the Pharisees are false shepherds of Israel, based on how they treated the man born blind and how they treated his parents and how they treat, really, all of Israel. Now, Jesus begins in verse 1 by saying, "Most assuredly," and again, this is a very unfortunate translation of the Greek, where really, if you have another translation, you may see "truly, truly." Or I like the old King James, where it says "verily, verily." But what Jesus, this is a formula that Jesus has used before and oftentimes, particularly in John's gospel, where he says, "Amen, amen, truly, truly." This is Jesus' way of saying, "Listen up. What I'm about to say to you is gospel truth. Listen up." And in verse 1, he says, "Most assuredly," or "truly, truly," or "verily, verily, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, the first thing to clear up is, what is a sheepfold? What is a sheepfold? Well, the sheepfold, at least in this context, would be an outdoor sort of walled pen. The walls might be 6 to 8 feet high. There would be no roof. And there would be a doorway or an opening in which there would be a person, a doorkeeper, who would stand guard over the sheep. We see the doorkeeper in verse 3. And now when Jesus says, "I say to you," he is speaking directly to the Pharisees. And he is saying that the one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door is a thief and a robber. Now, entering by the door, that would be proper, right? That's the proper way to enter the sheepfold. There's a doorway. If you want to get into the sheepfold, you would go through the door. So Jesus is saying to the Pharisees that they are the thieves and robbers because they do not enter the proper way. They do not go in through the door. As we will see, Lord willing, in verse 10 later, the thieves and robbers want to steal. They want to kill and they want to destroy. That is their purpose for breaking into the sheepfold, to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. In other words, to the false teachers, to the false shepherds, to the Pharisees, the sheep are a means to an end. They care not for the sheep, but only for their own welfare. The Pharisees are false shepherds. They sneak into the sheepfold in order to benefit themselves, in order to, as we saw in Ezekiel 34, in order to feed themselves and not feed the sheep. And that's why we read that passage this morning, in which God condemns the false shepherds of Israel. Back in those days, the shepherds of Israel would have been the leaders, the priests and the kings, those who were called into a particular point, those who were anointed for a task, which was to shepherd and guide God's people, Israel. The priests were to do so religiously, teaching and instructing the people in the way of the law of God. The kings were meant to guide God's people governmentally as the head, as a shepherd guides his sheep. And they were supposed to feed the flock. They were supposed to care for the flock. But instead, the false shepherds fed themselves and destroyed and scattered the sheep. The kings and priests of Israel, for the most part, failed miserably in their calling. Now, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees were supposed to be the shepherds. They were supposed to be the ones who cared for the people of God. But they turn out instead to be thieves and robbers. That's what Jesus calls them. They are thieves and robbers. We have mentioned it before, and I've brought your attention to this passage before many times, but again in Matthew 23, a very classic text in which Jesus confronts the scribes and the Pharisees and lays out to them seven woes. He pronounces seven woes on the shepherds, the false shepherds of Israel. And he criticizes them and critiques them because they love the places of authority and they love the prestige. He critiques them as being false shepherds because they unduly burden the people of God with their rules and regulations. He criticizes the false shepherds because they love the perks of the office and they love the reverence of the people. But in reality, he calls them what? He calls them hypocrites. Hypocrites. They are hypocrites because they bar the way to heaven through their practices. They are hypocrites because they devour the houses of widows. They are hypocrites because they seek to build their own following. They are hypocrites because they swear out false vows and oaths. And they are hypocrites because they are more concerned with their practice than with the weightier things of the law, such as grace, mercy, and justice. I could go on, but we just saw in the last few weeks how the Pharisees abused their power and authority in chapter 9. How they called in the man and how they interrogated the man. How they had sort of cowed the people into fear. How the parents would basically threw their own son under the bus because they were afraid of what the Pharisees would do to them. And how the Pharisees demanded that the man born blind sort of incriminate Jesus by bearing false witness. They abused their power. They abused their authority. They beat the sheep that they were supposed to care for. Again, false shepherds care not for the sheep, but will abuse the sheep if it serves their purposes. Now, in contrast to those who try to sneak in the sheepfold, we see in verses 2 and 3 the true shepherd of Israel, which is Jesus Christ. The one who enters by the door, he, that one, is the true shepherd. Look at verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The true shepherd doesn't need to sneak into the pen, right? He can walk right up to the door, and as we will see in verse 3, the doorkeeper recognizes him and will let him in. Now, while this applies ultimately as Jesus as the good shepherd, as again we'll see later, Lord willing, in chapter 10, it also speaks to any legitimate leader of God's people. In the Old Testament, again, this would be the priests and the kings who took their God-ordained tasks seriously. You see some of those, right? You see people like King Hezekiah, who was a good king, who tore down the high places and tried to restore true worship in Israel. You see this in King Josiah, how when they discovered the book of the law and he read the book of the law, what did King Josiah do? He tore his clothes because he realized we are not worshiping according to the law of God, and he restored true worship to Israel. In the New Testament, this would be the elders and the ministers and the deacons who are called to the task of serving the church and understand their role as under-shepherds to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. But it is clear that Jesus here is referring to himself as the true shepherd of the sheep. In fact, again, going back to Ezekiel 34, after condemning the false shepherds of Israel, what does God say through the prophet in verses 23 and 24? He says, I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, if you know the timing of Ezekiel, David is long dead by this time. So when he says, my servant David, he is clearly referring to the Messiah, the son of David, the son of God, my servant David. He shall feed them. And he will be their shepherd. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of David by birth, the Son of God by the resurrection. And by entering through the door of the sheepfold, Jesus shows himself to be the true Messiah, the true shepherd. When Jesus comes to the door of the sheepfold, the doorkeeper opens the door for him. Look at verse 3. To him, that is the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, some like to speculate as to the identity of the doorkeeper. Some of the more popular guesses I've heard is that it's the Holy Spirit, it's the law of God. It's just a doorkeeper. This is an illustration Jesus is using here, okay? He doesn't identify the doorkeeper. It is best to see this as a contrast here between legitimacy and illegitimacy, between true shepherds and false shepherds. Jesus is clearly the Messiah. He is clearly the true shepherd of Israel. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner who proclaimed the coming of Jesus. Jesus, when he comes on the scene, his works and signs and miracles demonstrate that he is the true Messiah. And the Father himself confirms it by speaking audibly, "This is my Son. Follow him." And the fact that the doorkeeper of the sheepfold opens to the shepherd proves his legitimacy. And the rest, of course, of verse 3 shows us beyond any doubt that Jesus is indeed the true shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The sheep hear the voice of the true shepherd, and Jesus calls his sheep by name, by name. And here we see two amazing truths of God here in the gospel. First, true Christians hear the voice of Jesus. If you are a true Christian, if you are one who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you hear the voice of Jesus clearly as he speaks to you through his word, clearly as ministers called to the service proclaim that word, and you hear and receive that word. You hear the word of your shepherd and you respond. Everyone we've seen so far in John's gospel who responded favorably to Jesus did so because they heard the voice of Jesus. Think of the woman at the well. Think of this man that we just saw here, born blind, right? They heard the word and voice of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus knows his sheep personally. He knows his sheep by name. One commentator wrote that shepherds often use nicknames for their sheep, right? They're like, one would be Fatty if he was like a kind of a fat sheep. Maybe, you know, they'd call him by nicknames, but they would call the sheep by name, and the sheep would hear it, and they would recognize, that's my shepherd, and they would go to follow him. This is an awesome truth, because if you're a Christian, if you're sitting here and you're a Christian, it is not because Jesus just made some generic call and then you somehow heard and responded. It's because Jesus called you by name. Jesus calls you individually. I could go and point to each name here and call and say, Jesus called you to salvation. Jesus called you to salvation. Jesus called you to salvation and to you to salvation. He calls you personally. He knew you before you breathed your first breath. He knew you before you were a glimmer in your daddy's eye. He knew you before the foundations of the world. Jesus calls you by name. We'll explore this more in weeks to come. But Jesus calls specific sheep, and those sheep hear his voice, and he leads them out of the sheepfold. Again, note the contrast between false shepherds and the true shepherd. There is a contrast not only in legitimacy, but also in intent. Right? The false teachers do not care for the sheep. They do not care for the sheep insofar, except insofar as the sheep can be exploited for their own gain. The true shepherd knows his sheep. The true shepherd loves his sheep. And the true shepherd leads his sheep. Well, after calling his own sheep by name, we see in verse 4, they follow the shepherd. They follow the true shepherd. Look at verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. And again, note the repeated reference here to his own sheep. His own sheep. He calls his own sheep. He brings out his own sheep, and his own sheep follow him. Again, Jesus has sheep. He knows them by name. He calls them. He leads them, and they follow. Again, this sheepfold that we would see here in this first century context in Palestine would be in a town. It would be a common sheepfold, right? It would be one in which everyone would keep their sheep. And then the doorkeeper would be a hireling who would guard the sheepfold. And then when the shepherds would come, they would come. But not all the sheep in the sheepfold are theirs. They have to call their sheep out. And it's the ones who hear the voice of their shepherd that follow out. Jesus, our true shepherd, knows those who are his, and he calls to them, and they follow him. And unlike shepherds in our own modern-day context who typically drive the sheep, right? You get sheepdogs and stuff, and you drive the sheep before you. In this context, during the time of Jesus and even before in Old Testament times, the shepherd would lead his sheep. The shepherd would be out in front of the sheep, leading the sheep. Jesus goes before them. And so much could be said of this rich theological concept here. Again, consider the words of Psalm 23, right? The great shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. What does he do? He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me to the green pastures. And when it comes time to enter that dark valley, guess what? He leads me through that dark valley and defends me with his rod and his staff. The writer of Hebrews, perhaps picking up on this theme of leading, says of Jesus in chapter 12 that he is the, again, another unfortunate translation, the author and finisher of our faith. And that word author translates a word in the Greek, the archegos, which means the pioneer. The trailblazer. Jesus is the one who blazes the trail of faith before us, and we follow in those footsteps. It's like you come up to a path, right, in the woods. You want to follow the path that looks like it's been trodden on. You don't want to just start wandering through the branches and the trees and get lost. You want to follow the footpath that's ahead of you. Again, the Lord is, the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega of our faith, marking out the path that we are to take. And again, true Christians are not only those who hear and know the voice of the true Shepherd, they are those who follow the true Shepherd. And furthermore, true Christians will not follow a stranger. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Again, because the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, they will not respond to the voice of a stranger. They will flee from strangers. The thieves and robbers who break in to steal, kill, and destroy will never win the confidence of the sheep. And by comparison, then, the Pharisees, who are the false shepherds, will never receive the confidence and of the sheep. Again, think of the man born blind, right? When he was being interrogated by the Pharisees, he did not listen to them. He did not hear them. They wanted him to incriminate Jesus, and he refused to do so. He did not listen to the voice of thieves and robbers. But he heard the voice of Jesus, the true shepherd, and worshipped him. Now, that's not to say that true Christians can never be tempted by false teachers or false teaching. We see, again, many places in Scripture where we see the warnings to avoid false teaching. John tells his readers in his first epistle, chapter 4, to test the spirits. To test the spirits, to make sure they are from God. In other words, be like the noble Bereans who, when they heard Paul speak, went and searched the Scriptures to confirm that what Paul said was true. Paul warns the Ephesian elders to watch over the flock to whom God has called them, because wolves desire to come in and devour the flock. And Jesus, in his own Olivet Discourse, says to look out for false Christs who seek to, if possible, deceive the elect. We need faith, we need discernment, we need vigilance, and we need wisdom. But in the end, we can rest in this great truth that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And the Holy Spirit who rests in us will preserve us firm in our faith until the end. True followers will never finally or fully fall away from the faith. Well, the passage closes with Jesus saying that he used this illustration, but they, the Pharisees, did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, in general, false teachers probably don't see themselves as false teachers, right? I mean, you don't go around, I am a false teacher. Come and listen to me, give me money. You know, I mean, they're not going to say that, right? But the proof, as they say, is what? In the pudding, right? How do they view the sheep? Are they to be known and loved and fed and led into green pastures? Or are the sheep simply there to be fattened so that they can serve as food for the false teachers? Now, Jesus is going to expound on this more as he goes on in chapter 10, this idea of him being the good shepherd, and we'll consider the riches of this theme in coming weeks. But here, the call to us is simply this. Do you hear the voice of Jesus calling to you? The true shepherd knows his sheep by name. He calls them by name. And if you hear his voice, do not, as the writer of Hebrews says, harden your hearts, but respond by what? Following your shepherd. He leads you out, follow him. Jesus is the great shepherd who leads us in the green pastures and in the paths of righteousness. Jesus is our great shepherd who guards us in the dark valleys with his rod and his staff. And Jesus is the true shepherd who leads us, as Psalm 23 ends, to the house of the Lord, where we will dwell with him forever. Jesus Christ is our true shepherd. Follow him. Let's pray. Father God, as we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we respond by following him. May we be the sheep of his fold. May he lead us in the paths of righteousness. May we, Lord, be those obedient sheep. Sheep by nature, Lord, are not particularly smart animals, and we need a shepherd And Lord, we are thankful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our true shepherd. I pray, Lord, that we all here this day hear the voice of Jesus and follow him. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will even now be at work in those who may not know Jesus as Lord and Savior and begin the process now of preparing the hearts and minds to receive and hear and obey the voice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.